7:03, time to book your fantasy football draft party in the Twin Peaks Mancave. That's man cave for you. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you. Dave off for the week. He'll be back on Monday, getting a little bit of vacation in before the NFL season starts. Clarifications on the text line. Issuing a correction here because apparently J.J. Watt has two playoff wins, but you see, those are the type of minor details that were really not to be trifled with on this show. And the fact
two
is,
playoff wins,
maybe
though.
It
two.
Should tell you something that, like, that's not really memorable to anybody. And by anybody, I mean me.
How long has he been in the league now?
I don't know. I don't care. He's 27 years old. The other one, funny thing on the text line, there is a question that came up. Who's a bigger fraud, Watt or Russell Wilson? Like, man, that's a tough one. I mean, you must be talking about the Russell Wilson that's the guy that tried to pretend that he was a virgin even after he'd already been married once. I don't know. Is it the same Russell Wilson that tried to tell us that bubbly water helps cure concussions?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. That's a tough one, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know where I stand on that. David Steele joined us at 6:17. He was marvelous. We'll probably get back to him at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. We got Amy G checking in from L.A. at 8:30 to talk about the Giants and whether or not they've had their proverbial funeral yet. We know they haven't, really, but we're struggling here. I think a lot of us fans have, you know, shinied up the old shovels a little bit and are ready to start digging.
And just for all of those that are panicking on the text line, just so you know, we've said it a couple times, but we'll say it again. Dave.
I just said it, man.
Dave is okay.
Dave's on a floating porta potty.
He's good. Nothing's wrong with him. He's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything.
He'll be back on Monday.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
See, it's all good.
So now we've said it.
Four down territory coming up in about 15 minutes. But as we started yesterday, we were covering some of that. We were inspired by the 49ers quarterback situation where they've kind of got four guys, if you want to count Jeff Driscoll and Christian Ponder. They've kind of got four guys that are competing for one spot. None of them are very good. And just to kind of deflect from them a little bit.
All of them could potentially start at one point or another during the season.
So just
okay.
To kind of deflect from that depression a little bit, because even though on the other side of the bay, their quarterback situation is good, a lot of teams in
other
the NFL
teams are going through it.
Really screwed with their quarterbacks. So NFC East yesterday. Today, we take a look at the AFC East. We're going to start with the Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryan, Greg Roman, the whole crew there. Last year, Tyrod Taylor was the guy. He got injured. He missed a few games, but he came back this preseason, and he's been looking pretty strong. That's the Bills television on the call. Kind of an interesting case with Taylor. I mean, they've got a lot of guys there. Tyrod Taylor seems to be the guy as long as he stays healthy. EJ
right.
Manuel is right behind him. Now, the biggest question to me is that you got this guy named Cardale Jones, who he's raw. He's probably not ready to do this yet. But if there's any sort of struggle there with the Bills quarterback situation, the fans are going to start calling for Cardale Jones pretty quickly.
Well, and it's because if you're a Bills fan, you're used to this. This has been an ongoing struggle with them for years, since like 1996 when Jim Kelly retired. I mean, they have been searching for quarterbacks for the longest time.
They've had some good ones,
yeah,
too. Rob Johnson, J.P. Lossman, Todd Collins.
Trent Edwards.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it Kyle Orton? Yeah, I believe
Orton.
So.
And probably the best one of them.
You look at Taylor, and he's only the third quarterback to be rewarded an extension since 1996 when Kelly left. And one of those other on the list is one Ryan Fitzpatrick, which we will get to later.
Uh-huh. But does Patrick fit Ryan or whatever? Anyway.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where they obviously rewarded him with a nice contract extension. It looks like they want him to be the future going forward. But it seems like an unstable environment there at the QB spot all the time.
Well, they do have a lot of mobility at that position. Their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, kind of made his bones with Alex Smith, and then to a greater degree, Colin Kaepernick. So a lot of similar type of styles there for the Bills. Next up, we're off to New Jersey for the Jets of New York, the other team in that city, where, who's really their quarterback? Luckily, they got things straightened out with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Zion Eagle on the call for CBS.
Well, and Nate, you were talking in the last segment when you were ranting about J.J. Watt, who apparently you have a man crush on now, according to the text line. But you were talking about how you would probably put Aaron Rodgers at that number one spot. But when you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick's numbers, I mean, career-wise, I don't know that many people like him. Even the Jets, it doesn't appear like, because it took so long for them in the offseason to sign him to a contract. And it basically came down to like, okay, maybe neither one of them had any options in free agency. So they kind of just ended up together. But he threw last year, he put up pretty decent numbers, better than Aaron Rodgers. So what is your main problem with Ryan Fitzpatrick when you look at him? Because, you know, they have Geno Smith behind him, but they don't really like him much either.
Well, that's what it came down to. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, a half a good season does not a Hall of Famer make. Ryan Fitzpatrick is an aggressively mediocre NFL quarterback, and he puts up a couple of good games, but he also, you know, completely choked away their playoff chances last year by throwing 700 interceptions against the Bills. And the weirdest contract standoff of all time. Hey, by the way, did you hear that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard? Because you will every single time he's on your TV this year. In case you didn't know that about him, Ryan Fitzpatrick said, hey,
you guys
got to pay me. And the Jets were like, but dude, you're not that good. And he's like, what are you going to do, start Geno Smith? And the Jets were like,
exactly. It's like one of those lesser of two evils things for the Jets this year.
Well, now, we spent a lot of time making fun of Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith, the guy who got his jaw broken over a $600 plane ticket. Hell of a leader he is. You could be the Dolphins. That's the sound of CBS television on the call. That was Spiro Ditas. Ryan Tannehill still should probably be playing baseball. I'm not sure exactly how long the Dolphins are going to keep trying to convince people that Ryan Tannehill's a good quarterback. He is, at best, as mediocre as Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I don't even think he's that good, because this is a guy that gets upset when the practice squad bests him in practice. This was a quote from last year coming out of the old newspapers there. Tannehill, after a couple of practice squad players forced turnovers, made negative comments toward them, including saying, quote, enjoy your practice squad paycheck, enjoy your practice squad trophy. Best of luck there, Dolphins fans.
Well, when you look at the fact that, you know, Ryan Tannehill may not be the pick of the litter, you've got Matt Moore behind him, Brandon Daughtry, Zach Dyer. Come on now. Like, there's not a whole lot of options there in Miami, but they're hoping that the change in the head coaching position might be able to maybe move Ryan a little bit more towards serviceable. The team got blown out by the Cowboys in preseason, and yes, I know it's the Cowboys. They lost 41-14, but Tannehill did put up some pretty decent numbers considering the fact that the scoreboard is really all that matters, and so it should kind of cancel that out, right?
You would think. Ryan Tannehill is so bad that he's getting roasted by people like Meiko Grimes openly. Her husband was his teammate. She's roasting him on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, opposing players.
But we all know what it's like when people get loose on Twitter that maybe shouldn't be getting loose.
Sure, I'm just saying. Like, people rip this guy with no fear of repercussions.
You people are depressing.
I know. Not as depressing as the Niners quarterback situation. That's the whole point of this. New England Patriots, this would normally be probably the most boring of all of these teams, right? Because Tom Brady, other than showing up on an injury report every week, he's a rock. But guess what? We all know he's missing the first four games of the season. So you're going to have to watch this guy. That's right. The seas are shifting in New England. Change is afoot. It's the Garoppolo to Derby era. Or maybe not. We'll see what Jimmy Garoppolo's made of.
They play at the Cardinals in week one.
Show up for four games and don't get hurt.
Dolphins, Texans, and Bills at home. So really all they need him to do is not be horrible. I mean, this is a team that's won the division 13 in the last 15 seasons. Just don't mess it up in the first 4 weeks.
Right.
And Tom Brady will come back with the halo around his head, and he will, you know, just blow everybody out of the water, and we won't be talking about this
honestly,
in week five.
As long as they don't go winless in those first four games, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
I think they could survive 1-3 and still make it through that division. No, I mean, really.
I know. It's not the strongest.
Especially when Brady gets back. I mean, you go, let's say you go 1-3, and then so for the final 12 games, you go 10-2, then you're 11-5.
You've got to talk about Brady, but you also have to talk about that coaching staff. We like to talk a lot of crap about them, but I think that they're going to be just fine because they've got some pretty decent coaches to get them through the first 4 weeks.
Yeah. Four down territory when we return. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.
Cue the picture of Joey Bosa looking absolutely dejected, holding a San Diego Chargers jersey, standing next to Roger Goodell, of all people. But yeah, you know, Joey Bosa.
What would make you more depressed, standing next to Roger or getting drafted by the Chargers?
Well, if you get both, I mean, can you just declare that you're going back to college for another year, even if you're not eligible? Anyway, Joey Bosa, you know what's going on, like a high school relationship with the Chargers, everything just going bad. So who's the biggest loser, Bosa or the Chargers?
It's the Chargers in this one. I mean, you got to kind of weigh a little bit because Joey Bosa is going to lose money for a year if he doesn't play at all. But the Chargers are the losers. Even the fans of their own team say so. They know they're screwing over Joey Bosa. Everybody does. This is nonsense. He deserves to be getting paid a lot of money. The Chargers are drawing a line, as David Steele said, in a really strange place, and it's an unnecessary line. So the Chargers are the losers here. They got the best player in the draft, and they can't even figure out how to sign him.
The only thing that could make Joey Bosa look better in this situation is if his mom never said the Eli Manning quote, because he has done what he's supposed to do. He's let his agents handle it. He hasn't spoken out to the media. He hasn't gotten loose on Twitter. He's doing what he's supposed to do, and he's not off base here for what they're asking. So the Chargers, as this rolls on, and God only knows when this is going to end, Bosa is looking better and better as it continues.
Huh. Nate said San Diego Chargers fans, as in plural.
I know, a fan.
Anyway, another riveting press conference or press moment with Colin Kaepernick. He just seems to always give those wonderful sound bites. Anyway, he's
got about the charisma of a wet sock.
Yeah, he's clarified to the media that his relationship with Trent Baalke was, quote, business only, after being told that Baalke characterized a conversation between the two as, quote, good. On a scale of send him a Christmas card to wouldn't pull him out of a burning building, how well do these two get along?
I think it's probably in between.
Send him a card while he's on fire?
I don't.
Get well soon, buddy.
Listen, things are not all sunshine and rainbows between these two. But I don't think it's as far sunshine as to say, like, look, if this guy were in a burning building, that he wouldn't go after him. We'll rely on maybe reflex and things like that in that situation. See a fire, pull the person out, and then maybe later regret when you find out who it is if you're Cap.
Yeah, cotton candy kisses and butterfly ice cream between those two.
I don't really think Cap has much of a leg to stand on here. Well, he's kind of been an ass too.
Well, he's not playing well. That's the number one thing, right? I wouldn't pull him out of a burning building. Might be a stretch, but I'll say that I'll bet Colin Kaepernick would probably think twice.
He'd head into the building, try and pick him up, and then drop him because of arm soreness.
Yeah.
TJ Houshmandzadeh yesterday on the Lowdown with the guys. There's blood in the water, and the Roger Goodell Sharks, a.k.a. the players in the NFL, are circling. It's becoming more and more clear that the players are fed up with the NFL commish. It took this long. The players are all but calling for his head. Will this eventually end in Roger Goodell's resignation?
No, because the players don't have anything to do with this. If it had anything to do with how the players felt, he would have been out of a job a long time ago. The bottom line is the NFL is bringing in as much money as it's ever brought in. It's the biggest sport on the planet, arguably behind soccer. It's definitely got the most revenue running through it. He's doing exactly what the owners want. That's it. And as long as he's doing that job, he's not going anywhere.
The owners love him. The players hate him. And so with all of the money and all of the things that you just said, Nate, you can't blame the fact that the owners are on Roger Goodell's side here. But from a player perspective, how can they be upset? They gave him this power. I will agree, he has way too much power. But when you see, I believe it was the other day, the Steelers like players rep came out and was like, you know, I just want to tell all the NFL players right now that they should start saving their money for the 2021 CBA negotiations. That is so far away. You gave him this power, and now you're stuck. What are you going to do? You can't do anything.
Ding dong, Goodell is gone.
Yeah, right.
That's James Harrison on, or supposed to be James Harrison, on his meeting with investigators. The NFL players that were named in the Al Jazeera report will all meet with investigators today. Should we expect anything to come of this?
Yeah, I absolutely think that there will be some movement made today, mainly in the same way that movement was made with Peyton Manning when he sat down with the NFL. And granted, he's retired now, and so he had no reason not to. He just wants to clear his name because he's crispy clean Peyton Manning. But these players sitting down with them, where I don't agree that they should be forced to, they've got to do it to make this go away. There's no evidence whatsoever from any other source other than the Al Jazeera report that they should even be talking to them. But hey, sit down, talk with them. It'll be over tomorrow.
The only thing that'll come from this is these players will be exonerated. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Raj just decided to throw a suspension out there because
Roger.
He can. But no, I think what's going to happen is, we know that the report has been mostly debunked. The guy recanted his statements. It seems like the NFL mostly just kind of wants to ask, like, hey, how did your name pop up in this? I'm not expecting anything other than these guys' names to be cleared. So I guess that wraps that up, huh?
Yeah, well, from the text line, I don't get the whining and the complaining. They make a lot of money and they get preferential treatment in a courtroom. I don't know that that is true.
Wait,
Goodell
what?
Actually punishes them for their mistakes. It's almost like parenting. No, it's not really. It's not really.
Hold on. Let's just say that it was. Like, why is that okay? Like, under what circumstances is your boss supposed to be anything like your parent? That's ridiculous. Like, why would
because
that even
parents
be
a, can use that because
that
even, I said so line. Why should your boss be able to say that?
Oh my goodness. Like, that's just, I'm sorry, that's mind boggling. Okay. Well, hey, the Giants aren't doing so hot. The Dodgers are, and unfortunately they're playing each other. So that's costing the Giants some space in the standings. Game 2 did not go well. We'll break it down for you when we return on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Charlie Steiner on the call for KLAC. You heard it there. Can't really ask much more of Johnny Cueto. He takes a loss to fall to 14-4. Made it through six. One run on four hits, six strikeouts. He walked one, but he gave up the home run to Justin Turner that ended up being the difference. So we'll speak with Amy G coming up an hour from now, and she'll kind of give us the feel of the clubhouse around there. The last time we spoke to her, it was several weeks ago. The Giants were still, they were shuffling a little bit.
Yeah.
But it sounded like nothing. In fact, it was right after the Matt Duffy trade. And it sounded like that was more the focus in the clubhouse. Like, hey, you know, how are we going to not necessarily come back from that, but we're integrating some new people in. And, you know, how is that going to happen? Sounded like the losses weren't really affecting them that much. It'll be interesting to hear if that's changed at all.
From everything. So this is the crazy part to me. They had an 8-game lead in the NL West prior to the All-Star game. Actually, when they went into the All-Star break, they had a 6.5-game lead over the Dodgers. Now, fast forward to today, they're 3 back. I mean, things have gone so incredibly wrong for them, and it kind of defies explanation because we've talked a lot about it over the last couple of days, Nate, and you talk about their defense, particularly in the outfield and all of these things, but you can point these things out now because they're struggling. Were they not an issue when they were absolutely dominating and had the best record in Major League Baseball going into the break? What has happened? Because even though they might have some deficiencies and some problems in some areas, they were able to have the best record in the league up to the All-Star break. So what has happened?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're just banged up and they can't hit the ball. It's kind of like we mentioned yesterday. It's a lot of bad timing in these games where they're not playing as a team right now. The defense, number one, isn't picking up anybody. That's just, last night wasn't a bad game. Obviously they just gave up the one run, but the defense has been bad. Other than that, when the pitching's there, the offense is not, much like last night.
They can't get it all on the same page.
Nope. Unfortunately, it's just game after game. I think these first two games in this Dodgers series have been a pretty good microcosm of what's gone wrong since the break. You got one game where you've got your ace, Madison Bumgarner, on the hill. He pitches absolutely terribly.
Horrible.
And they get torched, mm-hmm. even though they get a little bit of offense out of it. Then you put Cueto on the hill. You're thinking, hey, big bounce back start from our big money guy right here. He gives it to you, and you got no bats.
You can't come up with any kind of offense. So the curious thing for me right now, because baseball is such a long, arduous season, The mental component, I think, right now is the biggest factor for this team. Because, like I said, with everything that's going on with them, all of the deficiencies were there prior to this slump taking place. But they figured out a way to put everything together on the same page every night. And so I think it's sometimes dangerous when you're the best team in the league, especially going into a break, because you had momentum and then your momentum is kind of cut short by the fact that you have this all-star break going on. But I also think there's a level of where you can get very confident in how you're performing, and you should be when you have a record like that. However, you know that a slump is inevitable because it's going to happen over the course of such a long season. Mm-hmm. But from a mental perspective, that to me is the most troublesome thing right now, because this is something that they can recover from. It's not like they're not going to be in the playoffs right now. You can't say that. And so when you look at this, I'm less concerned about all the things we've talked about with their defense and getting everything on the same page and being able to have their bats. I'm more concerned by the fact that they all mentally seem to be a little messed up in the head right now, and that's a bad sign to me.
Well,
really bad.
They're just not playing well. I'm never going to have a problem with the mental element, mostly because this team is very fortunate in that they've been there before.
Yes,
so I don't think you're ever going to see them outwardly panic at all.
No, I don't think you're going to see a lot of teams outwardly panic. They're professionals. But I'm talking about what's really going on, that we're not going to hear about it. I'm just saying, from my experience, when you're in this situation and as a team, as a player, there is a level of confidence that comes to it. And then you maybe start to question some things. You don't have the same rapport with teammates in the clubhouse. There's a synergy that you
team.
Build. I don't know. That is unconfirmed.
I'm very confident that they're not having those kinds
then
of issues.
What is the explanation to this?
They're just not playing well. I mean, that's it. Bad things happen. Buster Posey's back is hurt. He's slugging under 400 since the break. That's terrible. And that guy's your number three hitter in the lineup. Eduardo Nunez gets thrown out every time he tries to steal a base. Angel Pagan, he can't play defense. He's got a terrible arm. Denard Span doesn't really seem to do anything except for hit slow rolling ground balls.
If you're a Giants fan at this point, you hope that's the case. I'm not saying that they're completely mentally stunted and it's all over for them, but I'm saying it's starting to become a concern, in my opinion.
So the guy that pitched for the Dodgers last night, right? And I mean, it's tough to be mentally tough when you've got a guy on the hill that's dealing like Rich Hill was last night. He, of course, hadn't pitched in a month and didn't look rusty even a little bit. Six shutout innings, I should say. 5 hits, 3 strikeouts. And afterwards, Dave Roberts was pretty pleased with his starting pitcher.
It's because Richie is very familiar with playing well against the Giants.
All of the A's are. I mean, you could count. Hell, let's just look down. You could go ahead and count one of the guys that got the hold last night, Joe Blanton. Get a little run in there. Joe Blanton loves to kill the Giants, too. Why not that? So does Kenley Jansen and Adam Libertor. Every single damn guy last night that pitched against the Giants is a Giants killer, and it started with that guy, Rich Hill. Rough stuff. I mean, part of me wants to solicit calls on this and see if there's anyone out there yet that is still not kind of freaking out about the way this goes. They're running out of time.
From the 209, they've been there. Dude, there are like 5 or 9 players left from the World Series Giants. Come on, you know, but I don't necessarily.
Oh, what do you mean? Like their number three hitter, their number four hitter, their starting shortstop, their starting first baseman, their World Series MVP starting pitcher. Yeah, 5 to 9 players, like all of the anchors of their lineup.
Yeah, and so from the 707, Santa Rosa.
What I'm saying is that if they had never won a World Series, I'm sure that they'd just be spinning their tires right now. I don't think that that's a real big concern, though.
The Giants feasted on an easy first half schedule with great pitching from the top three pitchers and had a much better offense. You can't argue with that. A lot of it is scheduling. This series with the Dodgers right now is just coming at an extremely inopportune time. And when you looked at the schedule when it came out and you looked at the series, it's always going to be important because you know that this is a competitor in the NL West. but you're not expecting to be in the worst slump of the season either.
No, and you can't blame it on the schedule. The schedule's not that different every year. The final 2 months.
It's not blaming it on the schedule. It's just saying, you know, and someone's like, oh, they were playing.
They got hot at the wrong time. I said that at the time, even though I haven't really been in panic mode up until the last couple of days. Even through the first half of the season, what did I say, Katie? I'm sitting here going, dude, a couple losses, please. Yeah. You can't stay this hot because even then they were playing above their heads. And now we're seeing the result of it. What goes up has to come down. You just hope at some point they're going to be able to meet in the middle over the next month of the season or so.
Well, and you're not alone.
This is a
numbers
game.
Yeah, it is. You're not alone in terms of your kind of how you feel about this season. Because, like you said early on, I kept asking you throughout this, how are you feeling? Yeah, I won a couple losses. I'm not worried about a slump when this started from the 9-1-6. I don't know, guys. I think that was the season last night.
it felt like it. Now they're not even getting those close games. In the past, that kind of magic has been there where even when they've shuffled, there's a game here or there, or something like last night, you catch a break. The Dodgers aren't giving anybody any breaks right now. Mm-hmm. Corey Seager, in addition to knocking the cover off the ball, is a fantastic defensive shortstop. And even when it's just one of those things where even when the Giants are hitting the ball hard, it's just going right at the defense. Mm-hmm. And I guess fortunately, if you're a Dodgers fan, they've got a relatively solid defense. Like a lot of those guys, it's depressing. But
from the 8-6-3, which I don't know where that is. I'm questioning that. The Giants were as good as their record indicated earlier this year, and they aren't as bad as they're currently playing. I think you kind of have to agree with that because most people would call this a slump, and you think at some point that you're going to get out of it. This slump has just gone on maybe a little bit too long, and it's a little too close to comfort. And the fact that you're slumping and you're playing against the Dodgers right now, and you go into the series, what, they were down one, they were one game back when they entered the series. Now they're three games back. Series is not over yet. So if they can get some wins out of this series, we won't be talking about this. It won't be as bad. But if they lose out in this series, is it panic time? I think panic time kind of started happening a few days ago before.
Don't get swept.
Yeah, well, maybe easier said than done, apparently.
I guess. Maybe don't get swept. We'll talk with Amy G about that coming up 45 minutes from now, and we'll get an answer probably to your question as to, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I guess what's I'm sure that Bruce Bochy's trying to press all the buttons he can. It just seems like for maybe the first time with this Giants team, with this kind of, championship type of group, for the first time, those buttons just aren't doing anything when he presses them.
Yeah.
And that's rough. So we'll check in with Amy about that. Now I want to talk a little bit about the Hope Solo deal because you're probably going to be hearing about it all morning somewhere. We remember Hope Solo shooting her mouth off after the loss to Sweden, calling them a bunch of cowards because they wouldn't play the way that Hope Solo wanted them to, and they ended up getting a win out of it.
They played cowardly because they weren't playing aggressively and coming at them. They basically, her argument was that, they kind of held the ball from them. They didn't, go at them. They played.
They did
more,
what they needed to do to win in a one-game playoff.
They developed a game plan. Mm-hmm. They executed the game plan, and they won. So, therefore, that equals cowardly. And I don't know. It's pretty damn smart to me, but whatever.
And before we get into the madness with her, just as an aside from that, there's this myth out there that tactic too is unique to soccer. You face a more talented team, you hold the ball, you sit on it, you chuck and duck, and you just play defense. And
it's complete crap.
The Pistons and the Knicks did it with the Bulls in the 90s. You try to bring them down to your level.
In the NBA that has gone up, especially when the kind of run-and-gun system started to enter the NBA, do you think teams were trying to run with teams, that was their system? No, they were trying to slow them down, make them play in the half court.
The Pistons in the 2000s.
It's ridiculous. So
they're going to drag you down.
This is sports. This is how athletics work. She's insane.
And on top of that, this isn't the regular season either. There's no game next week if Sweden loses.
Right. That's exactly.
You kind of got to get
the win. You're playing for all the marbles
here. Exactly. And you go home. So anyway, Hope Solo spoke up, and reaction from both her teammates and the higher-ups in U.S. soccer was swift and not in Hope Solo's corner. Megan Rapinoe, who I believe was born in Reading, recently said she was disappointed in Solo. U.S. soccer president Sunil Gulati called Solo's comments highly inappropriate. And then yesterday, it all hit the fan when U.S. soccer announced that Hope Solo is going to be suspended for 6 months. Saying, conduct that is counter to the organization's principles. The suspension for Solo, who was previously suspended for 30 days early in 2015 for her conduct, is effective immediately.
So another thing from the president here, taking into consideration the past incidents involving Hope, as well as the private conversations we've had requiring her to conduct herself in a manner befitting a U.S. national team member, U.S. soccer, determined this is the appropriate disciplinary action. So to me, when I read that, it's like,
this is not an isolated incident.
This is not isolated. That. This is we all know about the saga of Hope Solo and the
getting a DUI in a team van.
She is a phenomenal, phenomenal player. She gets in her way constantly. Whether it's the whole thing with her, I believe they're now married, but it was when they were
Jeremy Stevens.
Yeah, before they were married, and they were both arrested on domestic violence. I mean, it's just, it is a long, long line and list of things that she has done, which is just embarrassing to the U.S. national team. And they've kept her because she's so good. But at this point, her career is basically over anyway. By the next Olympics, was she like 38 or 39 years old, you know?
Next major tournament they play in is in 2019. And yeah. She'll be 38.
Okay, yeah.
So that's, I mean, they don't need her anymore is a big part of it.
Her response, shall you read it or shall I?
Well, I'll let you read it, but just, you know, in kind of, as that came out, Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated also reported that U.S. soccer terminated her national team contract.
Right. $72,000.
Yeah, so she's done.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
she responded to the suspension as such.
Okay. For 17 years, I have dedicated my life to the U.S. women's national team and did the job of a pro athlete the only way I knew how, with passion, tenacity, and unrelenting commitment to be the best goalkeeper in the world, not just for my country, but to elevate the sport for the next generation of female athletes. In those commitments, I never wavered. And with so much more to give, I am saddened by the Federation's decision to terminate my contract. She went on to say that I could not be the player that I am without being the person I am, even when I haven't made the best choices or said the right things. My entire career, I have only wanted the best for this team, for the players, and the women's game, and I will continue to pursue these causes with the same unrelenting passion with which I play the game.
So not really an apology, not walking anything back. She's saying,
no.
I am who I am, and that's what made me who I am, which frankly is a load of nonsense, because Hope, your tongue is not connected to your soccer playing skills. It's that simple. It's not. And in fact, it's probably a detriment, because it's really hard to play a game that the whole world knows as football when you got your feet in your mouth.
In your mouth.
It
yeah.
doesn't work that
constantly.
Way.
Constantly. And she's never apologetic for the things that she does. And for me, this goes to life in general, okay? Sorry is one of my least favorite words in the English language, because most people will apologize. However, to me, you are only sorry if you acknowledge your behavior, you apologize for it, and you do not repeat the behavior. Sorry has become this word that we use to get out of things, even when we do, you know, we have no intention of changing our behavior overall. And that is basically what she has done her entire career. And it's interesting to me in the fact that the Players Association has come out and said that it has been a violation of her First Amendment rights, which just is an embarrassment to me, because you don't understand exactly what the First Amendment is in this situation.
It's fun that things like this come up and we constantly have to remind people that the First Amendment,
the law,
doesn't mean that you're allowed to just be an a-hole indiscriminately.
Right.
That's not what it means.
Because it basically, I'll let you go ahead and break this down for our students out there that are confused on what the First Amendment is for and what it protects you from.
Well, the simple answer is that all it really means is that the government can't arrest you for what you say.
Exactly.
That's it.
It does not mean that you cannot lose your job for something that you have said. It does not
mean that you're allowed to be hateful.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you're
that people are not allowed to dislike you for this.
Doesn't mean people have to listen to you. And it doesn't mean you're not going to face consequences for the stupid crap you say. That's it. It's that simple, period. And so if you are in a situation where you find repercussions for this, if you act like a jerk and say something that people don't want to hear, you get fired from your job. In our case, our radio show gets canceled, something along those lines. That's not a First Amendment issue. That means that the people have spoken.
And they
think
do
you're
not
a jerk,
like you.
And they're kicking you the hell out.
Maybe the most troubling aspect of this entire story to me is the union, the players' union. In the statement, they said that they've been notified. They're all the actions that they're going to take. First, they say that it is a violation of her First Amendment rights. They go on to say, and I quote, "We also question whether this action would ever have been taken against a male player or coach who, in the heated moments after a frustrating defeat, questioned the tactics of an opposing team. Needless to say, we will file an appeal on Ms. Solo's behalf." I want to call them out for an incredible dumpster truck full of crap right now. I am so sick and tired of the woman component, because as a woman, I'm sitting here going, quit using this card, because it is an important issue. Women face enough problems when it comes to, equality and equal pay and all this stuff. Don't use it for crap like this. Well, she's not getting punished because she's a woman. She's getting punished because she's an idiot and she cannot keep her mouth closed and she offends people constantly. She doesn't learn her lessons. She doesn't listen to people. And she does not care that all of this happens because she's never faced punishments like this. And now that she's facing it, they want to say it's a woman thing and a First Amendment right thing. Get your crap together.
Well, it's also an obtuse way to take this, too, because we all know that it is not about this isolated incident. Hope Solo was not... did not have her contract terminated, and
God,
she did
I got
not
get up on that.
Yeah,
whew,
you did.
God,
she
my
didn't
heart rate
get suspended because she spoke up in the heated moments after a frustrating defeat. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. Hope Solo
they
has
gave
been
her
a pain.
So much leeway.
In the national team's backside, and the fact is she's able to play well enough to get over it. Now that she's old, they don't need her anymore. They told her to pound sand, and good for them on it. So, Hope Solo, she's not done being in the news.
No, she's not. And that's it's kind of the TMZ effect, because we're going to it's no different than Johnny Manziel, in my opinion, in terms of it's somebody that continues to mess up. Their personality and the way that they conduct themselves it's sad, and therefore it's always going to be entertaining for whatever reason. It's consumable for, the general public, because we want to look at it and be like, wow, because I think we're, for the most part, we're constantly in awe of people's continued stupidity.
We spoke with David Steele of the Sporting News earlier in the show. We were breaking down the Joey Bosa situation. And if you missed that, because it happened really early, we did it in the very second segment of the show. It was bright. We were barely awake yet, but David was good and he woke us up and he had some good stuff. So we're going to have David Steele, we'll re-rack that and have that for you when we return. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.